preparation for the message, we need to dismiss our kids for children's church. I forgot to do that before prayer. We can bless them as they go on out.
We do, as preparation for the word, we do ask the elders to come and to pray with Pastor because it's that important. This word is so worthy of our praise and our prayers. And so, Lord God, we just cry out to you for our brother. He has spent time in your word, and we thank you for his diligence, Lord, for putting that on his heart that week in, week out. Lord, your word is important to him. And it's important enough that he spends multiple hours to bring it to us, Lord. We are so thankful for your servant. So, Father, we just ask blessing on him now as he comes. Lord, please just bring your word forth to us that we can hear it. Open our hearts. Prepare the listeners, Lord, that we can hear this word and, again, apply it to our lives. So bless him, Father, we ask in your beautiful name, Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. If you haven't turned in your Bibles to John 15, please do. We're going to continue the message that I began last week and finish that. Won't be a long message because I do want us to have some time to share together what God has been doing in our lives. I hope that you will have the boldness to share and what God's been doing, because I know personally a lot of you that God's been doing some awesome, awesome things in your life. And it's very important that we share that and encourage that with one another. So please be thinking of what the Lord would have you to share. We're looking at John chapter 15, and we are going to read from verse 5 to 17. So would you please stand with me out of respect for God's word? We'll begin at verse 5. We read this whole passage last week. And these are the words of Jesus. Let us read in unison together. I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me, and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me, and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be given you. This is to my Father's glory, that you would bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed the Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I will no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I've called you friends, for everything that I've learned from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. This is my command. Love each other. Lord, speak to us from the words of your Son, Yeshua Jesus. Touch our hearts. Work in us what you desire to work through the Holy Spirit. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Back in the winter we wanted to get rid of one of the bushes that was in our front yard because we had planted four, and over time they had, you know, gotten bigger and bigger and bigger, and it was too crowded, you know. The symmetry was not there. And so what we needed to do is one of them was beginning to die. The branches were getting dry, breaking off, and it was, you know, just becoming more and more sparse. And we thought, you know what, we're going to pull that one up, and we're going to move the one that's the third one, we're going to move it into the middle. So what we did back in the winter is we pulled that dead one up, and sure enough, we, you know, discarded it. We didn't burn it because in our neighborhood you're not allowed to burn stuff, and but we just discarded it into the trash. And then as it was just about the time when the warm weather is going to happen, I guess you're supposed to, and again, I'm doing this by instruction because I don't know much about plants, and we're to move that one when the roots are still cold and dormant, and we had to move that one into the middle. Now, I've shared this with many people. I have a black thumb. I can kill any kind of plant, any kind of tree, you name it, I can kill it. And so when people ask me to, you know, help, my wife will ask me to help with different things, I'll just say, I'll help you, but you're looking at Mr. Death here. Okay? I'll kill the plant. If I come near it, it's going to die. Well, lo and behold, with this bush, we dug down really, really deep. And we got to the real, real deep tap root. And my son Kenny helped me dig it up. One day it was starting to drizzle. It was a big, muddy mess. But we were able to dig that thing up and dig a hole next to it and pop that thing in there. And we got so deep that we were able to get all the way down to that tap root. And guess what? It hasn't died. I'm really excited. It's been, I don't know, 6-7 weeks, and it's not dead. So I'm rejoicing. But the most important thing is that we were able to get down past the branches, past the trunk, the little bit of a trunk that it has, down into that tap root. Because therein, the main root, is where the life is flowing from the soil up into the whole bush. Similarly here, Jesus wants us to be connected to Him because He is that tap root. Here He says, I am the vine. He's using imagery, an analogy of that day, because it was a time when vines, grapevines, were very familiar to the people. Many, many, many grapevines and vineyards in Israel. And so He's using an analogy that they're very, very familiar with. Many of us may not be familiar with a vine, with a vineyard. I've only been to vineyards short visits and not many of them, so I'm not real familiar with it. But what we do know is the branches must stay connected to the vine, to the main vine. Otherwise, the branches will not bear fruit. Now that just seems very straightforward and simple, doesn't it? I mean, the branch has to remain in the vine. Now, think with me just a second. The branch doesn't have any choice, right? When you're talking about a vine, the branch doesn't have any choice. It's stuck on the vine, and it doesn't have any choice. What is He talking about here? He is talking about us, isn't He? We are the branches. He is the vine, and so we have the choice. We must remain connected to the vine, Jesus, so that we are receiving spiritual nourishment from Him, so that we're connected from Him. Last week we talked about this, and just real briefly want to run through it. The main purpose here is that Jesus wants us to abide in Him and then bear lasting fruit as we are abiding in Him. We're going to bear lasting fruit. And that fruit is going to look like this. It's going to be a life of love. It's going to be a life of obedience and a life of reaching out to other people. That's what the fruit in our lives is going to be. And He says and makes it very clear, unless you abide in Me, you won't bear lasting fruit. You won't bear lasting fruit. Yes, we can do some good things, just humanly speaking. In fact, there are many philanthropists, lover of people in the world. And they do good works. Some of them set up foundations. Some of them set up non-profit organizations. Some of them feed the hungry. Some of them donate money to research. Some of them have special scholarships and special funding for, you know, children that are orphans or people that are battling cancer. Or there are many, many good causes and activities. And please don't think I'm denigrating them in any way. But think with me for just a second. What does it help if you just help the person physically or in their social situation, but you don't help them spiritually to know Jesus Christ in their life? Because when Christ comes, all of this is going to burn up. The only thing that's going to remain is us and our connection with Jesus, the eternality that is within us in connection with Him, and then the relationships that are there. We have helped people to come to know Jesus. We have reached out in Jesus' name. You see, a deed without the word is really no deed at all. A deed without the word is no deed at all. Now, I understand there's some sense where sometimes you have to do the deed before you can even give the word. There's some places where you have to dig a well to help people have water before you can get a hearing to share with them the good news of Christ. There's organizations like what we help with Operation Christmas Child, where we give them Christmas boxes of gifts, and it gains for us a hearing. It gains for us an opportunity to come in and to express our love, our care, our concern, our help for these folks, many of them in closed countries. And then we give, through that process, we give the word to them as well. And that's one of the reasons that we highly recommend Operation Christmas Child, Samaritan's Purse. We think very highly of Franklin Graham, and in fact, we partner with Samaritan's Purse organization. But think with me just a second. What country just a couple of weeks ago had the terrible earthquake? Nepal. That's right. Now, what does it profit us if we go into Nepal and we help the people, we provide food, we provide blankets, perhaps temporary shelter, and as we're doing that, they say, "Oh, thank you so much," or, "Why are you doing this?" And we say, "Oh, we're pretty good people. Hey, I needed some brownie points." What would it profit them if we are doing some of these things, and yet we don't say to them, "We are doing this in Jesus' name. We're doing this because we love you, and we certainly want to help meet your needs and alleviate your suffering. But our motivation behind this is because Jesus loves us, and therefore we are loving you, and we want you to know that regardless of your situation, you can know Jesus Christ and you can have an eternal relationship with Him. Even if you were to die, you can be with the Lord." Jesus wants us to have lasting fruit. Lasting fruit. Well, how are we to bear lasting fruit? Quickly. Number one, we are to abide or remain in Christ. And we looked at it last week. To abide means to fully live in Him. Just like you would fully live in your house. You don't just move into your house and live in the front room. No. When you move into a house, you occupy the whole house. You fully live in it. You make it your home. So it is with Christ. You abide in Him. You make Christ your home. You occupy all of Him, and He occupies all of you. It means to stay connected to Christ. To abide can also mean the word remain. Remain meaning connected to the source of our life. We live, therefore, in full and connection to Jesus Christ, just like the branch is fully connected to the vine. Now, I don't know much about this. Many of you have actually probably done this, but you can splice a branch into a tree, or in this case, into a vine. And, of course, the Israelite vineyard farmers actually did this and came up with new varieties of grapes and this kind of thing. They were experts at it. And think with me for just a second. What would happen if all of a sudden you splice you splice it into the vine, right? And you're like, "There, good, yeah." And you turn around, and all of a sudden it goes, pops out. And you pick it up off the ground, and you stick it back in the splicing where you put it in there, and you maybe, you know, put some tape around it or whatever they use, gumbo, you know, and you say, okay, now, stay there. And you're like, and you walk a couple steps and you're, boop, there, pops out again. What would happen? Two things would happen. Number one, that branch being separated, being disconnected from the vine, is going to die. It's not going to receive nourishment. Secondly, and even more importantly, that branch is not going to bear any lasting fruit. I say that because, as Christians, we must understand Jesus' words here. Listen, Jesus says, I have called you, I have chosen you, and I've called you to bear lasting fruit. You must stay connected to the vine. Yes. I talked about this earlier. You want to live in resurrection life. You have to stay connected to the vine. But understand, this is not only about us individually. This is about the kingdom of God. This is about what God wants to do through us to bear lasting fruit so that other people can see Christ in us. They can see that we're connected to the vine and we're bearing good fruit in our lives. You and I are to be on display for God. Now, I know that makes some of us nervous. We're like, ooh, I don't know how I feel about that. I kind of feel like, you know, maybe I got some rotten fruit going on. Well, guess what? Don't we all? Don't we all have rotten fruit, along with the good fruit? Okay, and I'm not going to get into it today for time, but understand that's why Jesus prunes us. That's why Jesus prunes us. You see, He has to come along and cut off the dead fruit, cut off the dead growth, cut off the bad fruit. I don't buy a big bag of grapes, take it home and open it up, and you know, there's a couple three on the side here that are gotten all mushy and nasty, and you know, sometimes they get that gray fuzz on them. Isn't that neat? I like to kind of like play with that stuff and mush it around. Just kidding. Just making sure you're awake. I don't take, just because there's two or three grapes that are mushy or bad and got some fungus on them or mold on them, I don't take the whole thing and say, these are no good, and throw the whole thing out. What do? I get in there and I pull them grapes out, the bad ones. I clip them off and I throw them in the trash. That's what Jesus does with us. He prunes us. But guess what? Jesus is looking in our lives to see if there's some fruit. He wants to see some fruit, some lasting fruit. So, we will abide in Him, we will stay connected to Him, and we will bear fruit, much fruit, if we remain abide in Him. Number two, and this is where we left off last week. Jesus said in verse 7, He says this, if I can focus, if you remain in me, and my words remain in you, ask whatever you will, and it will be given to you. We must keep His word remaining in us. If His word remains in us, He says, we will bear good fruit. You see, God's word is the truth. And God's word is that which causes us to grow and to produce fruit, bear it, spiritually. It's the sap, so to speak, right? You have in the vine or in the trunk sap that flows. And it's a pretty incredible thing when you think about trees, you know, that they have a circulatory system kind of like us, except they use sap. And you know, there's even some varieties of trees that we like their sap, right? Maple trees. We like that sap, maple syrup. It's kind of a crazy notion, isn't it, when you think about it? I mean, really, evolution did a really great job in making us maple syrup. Yeah. Yeah, and if you believe that, then see me afterwards, and I have some land down in Florida, swampland, to sell you. Ridiculousness. Another sermon. His word remains in us. Watch this. How do we get His word to remain in us? Well, it remains in us as we learn it, then as we believe it, and then as we obey it, put it into practice in our lives. James chapter 1, verse 22, familiar scripture with many of us. Do not merely listen to the word and thus deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Don't just listen to the word. Don't just hear the word. Hear it only. And do nothing about it. It says, put it into practice. Do what it says. Because you see, if you don't, if you just come to church and you hear the word, you hear the sermon, if you just come out to Bible study, or maybe you're not even coming out to Bible study, or maybe you're listening to it on the Christian radio, and that's fine, or CDs on tape, or on MP3, and you hear the word, but you don't obey it, you don't put it into practice, the Scripture says, you are deceiving yourself. It's kind of like that branch that is supposed to be receiving the sap, but it pops off the vine, so it can't receive the sap anymore. You and I must stay connected, and that word is the sap that flows through us, the truth of God. So we learn it, we believe it, we obey it, we practice it, so that we're not deceived, so that we bear fruit. His word remains in us. And then watch this. Y'all still with me? Say amen. His word remains in us as we meditate on it. We meditate on it. We hide it in our heart. Psalm 119:97. I meditate, I hide your word in my heart and meditate upon it, O Lord. And I'm just giving you the quick version. I'm trying to save a little time. What does it mean to meditate? Recently, probably in the last year and a half or so, I like to listen to music, and there's nothing wrong with that. You know, I listen to all kinds of music. On the way down to Lynchburg yesterday, we popped in a bluegrass gospel hymns CD. How many of you guys can say, hoo-hoo, for gospel? All right, some of y'all love gospel. I like some of it. Some of it gets a little too hokey for me, but some of it was good, and they were playing a banjo and so on and so forth. You know, I don't want a steady diet of that only, so I listen to other music, and then we have some, you know, middle-of-the-road music, and some, all kinds of music. But, you know, there comes a point, it's like, you know, it's time to turn the music off. And it's time to begin to meditate on God's Word. I wonder how many of you meditated on the Word that the Lord brought forth last week. How many of you meditated on it, you know? Because you see, when you meditate upon a word, it means that I'm considering this word. Lord, what does this word mean, and what does it mean to me? The word meditate, by the way, it's used of a cow. A fancy word for it is ruminate, right? A cow chews its cud. And I don't want to gross you out or anything, but you know what a cow does. He chews that food up, gets a lot of it into him, and then later on he spits it back up and chews it up some more. I know that's kind of gross. In fact, I know a couple of you that do that too, right? Your pizza, you bring it up a second time. Brother Jerry, would you hand me that water, Brother Jerry? Brother Jerry, would you hand me that water right there? Or Brother Jason, thank you. I forgot to bring that up. Thank you. Thank you. Hey, we didn't have any pizza the whole trip down to Lynchburg or back. We were good. We were good. So maybe we need to celebrate Mother's Day with pizza today. Brenda's choice. Brenda's choice. So to meditate means to bring that word back up and chew upon it. Thy word have I hidden in my heart so that I may not sin against you. Let me ask you something. Are you meditating on the word of God? Are you thinking about it? You see, man, we live in such a crazy world, don't we? I mean, it is 100 miles an hour and there is so much going on. Are we taking some time to meditate upon the word? You know, what does it mean to me? What does it mean first in the scriptures to those that God gave it to first? And then what does it mean to me? God, what are you trying to say to me in this? And so to abide, to remain in Christ so that we bear fruit is that His Word remains in us. And that is the sap. That is the life nourishment that God is going to bring. And then you will bear fruit out of this. Number three, we will remain in His love by obeying His commands and bearing fruit. Now that seems a little redundant, doesn't it? But look with me. Look with me at verse 10. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I've obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. Now, this seems a little tricky, but hear me out for a second. And sometimes Christians get stuck on this, that, well, you have to obey. Your Christian life, I mean, it's all about obeying God. You have to obey. There is truth to that. But you're looking at it the wrong way if you have that kind of an attitude. I obey God because I am remaining. I obey God because I am abiding. And you know what happens? As I'm abiding in Him, as I am feeding on His Word, guess what? My desires, my heart, my motivation begins to change. Listen, I'm just like you, and there's times, you know, we know the Scriptures, we know the commands, you're like, man, I just don't want to go to church today. I don't want to go down there and hear that long-winded preacher again. I just don't want to go. I know y'all, some of you say that. That's all right. You can be honest. I'll make you raise your hand. No, just kidding. You know, sometimes you're tired. I said to somebody this week, they stayed home last week because they were exhausted and they slept in. You know, I said, well, you went to Bedside Baptist, didn't you? You were listening to Reverend Sheets. But you know what? That's okay. Sometimes you need rest. Sometimes, you know, if your physical body is exhausted, you know, you're going to come here and be nodding off, and then I'm going to point you out. You know, there is within us sometimes, and that, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about there is within us sometimes you just, you know, you're like, I don't want to do this, Lord. You know, there's certain things that are commands in a sense, but you know, our flesh says, I just want to do this. But you understand when you abide in Christ, your heart changes. You want to do these things. And then you prove your discipleship. You prove your connection. You're abiding in Christ when you actually do them. I preached a message on this some years ago, and I preached it at length. Sometimes you're not going to learn what God has for you until you obey Him and what He's showing you right now. We're like the Bible figures that, well, they want to know it all. They want to know, you know, everything. God, what are you showing me? What are you doing? What do you want me to do, God? Show it to me all at once. And God says, not going to do that. You obey me right now in this, what I'm showing you. And as you obey me, then I'll show you the next step. And so, listen, some of us are stuck at this point. We have not obeyed the Lord and what He's showing us right now. And you know, we have all these things going on. We want to know all that God has for us. Lord, what do you want to do in my life? Where are you sending me? What direction? We want to know all these things. And God is saying, you won't obey me in the simple thing. How are you going to obey me in the hard things? See, obedience is the fruit of abiding in Christ. Obedience is the fruit of connecting with Christ day in, day out, saying, Lord, I need to have my mind transformed by your word. That's what transforms our mind. And then my connection with you, Lord, begins to change my heart, begins to change my motivation, where I actually begin to want to do the things that God commands us to do. Does that make sense? You really do. Then you begin to look at it, instead of going to church as a chore, you begin to say, man, I can't wait to get to church and see what God's going to do. I can't wait. I've got to be honest with you. I am so excited because I know what God's been doing from the last few days on, last few weeks on, and I can't wait to hear some of you share. Well, now, don't disappoint me. Don't hide it, because the whole church needs to be encouraged and hear these things. But I'm excited because I see what God's doing in our lives. And I know it's not happening because Pastor Tom is up here browbeating you, saying you must submit and you must tithe and you must be in church and you must be doing this and you got to do that and you better obey. You know, that's law. That's legalism. We're here because God loves us and we want to serve Him. When we consider all that He's done for us, we love because He first loved us. Amen? We love, we want to do what brings Him glory and honor because, oh God, You have glorified me. You've honored me with Your Son. And Lord, I want to be used of You. Lord, You've poured gifts into me and I want to be used of You to bring those gifts and lay them at Your feet and see people come to Christ and people encouraged and raised up. You see, there's a sense that I know that I'm abiding and I'm staying connected when I want to obey His commands and I actually do it. I actually do it. See, obedience completes God's working in my life. Just like Jesus. That's why He says, as the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my commands. Excuse me, now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love. Watch this. Just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in His love. Do you see it? Jesus completed His obedience by obeying the Father's commands. You remember in the garden, He said, Father, if it's possible, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but Your will be done. And He completed the work God gave Him. None of us have to agonize like that. None of us, you know, have to consider going to the cross to give our lives for the world. He's not asking you to do that, but He is asking you to die to yourself every day and be connected to Him so that we bear lasting fruit. And so we complete God's working by obeying. James 4. James chapter 4, verses 14 through 17. I want to give you a practical example from the Scripture about obedience here, how it completes God's working in us. JoJo Carpenter is going to read that for us. Who has a microphone in their hand? Mr. Ashley.
Why, you do not even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. As it is, you boast and brag. All such boasting is evil. Anyone, then, who knows the good he ought to do and doesn't do it, sins.
Wow. If God puts in front of you an opportunity to do good, an opportunity to do something that is going to bless somebody else, that is going to help somebody else, give away from yourself. You see, if we're not doing that, it's sin. Sin means to miss the mark, right? It's not an issue of condemnation. It's you've missed the mark. But more importantly, you are missing the blessing. You're missing the blessing. God blesses us when we give others, when we give away from ourselves, when we take that which God has poured into us and we pour it out to other people. Man, it is just so, so awesome to see what God does in that. And He wants to do that in you and in me. And so Jesus says, abide in me. Abide in me, and you're going to bear good fruit. Abide in my word, let it remain in you, and you're going to bear lasting fruit. And then remain in my love. How can we remain in His love if we're not connected, if we're not drawing on the source, that sap of the Spirit? If you're not drawing on that sap, then your life is going to be dry. I know some of us get in those dry places. I understand that. It's happened to me at times as well. When you just feel like you're in such a dry place. You know, and I think God does allow that sometimes because He wants to see what we're going to do with that. Recently, There's someone that they've gotten disconnected from the church, and now they're feeling dry, and now they're having thoughts of, you know, I don't know about this following Jesus thing. I don't know if I'm going to do it or not. I don't know if I'm going to go back. You see what's happened? The enemy, he's disconnected you from the vine. Well, Pastor, you don't need to go to church to be a Christian. Very, very hard to be a Christian and not go to church. And it doesn't have to be a large church like this. It can be, you know, Jesus said, where there's two or more of you, I am there with you when you're gathered in my name. You and I need to be connected to Jesus and connected to other people. But most importantly, when you come to church, you're getting fed the Word of God. Spiritual sap is coming into your life through the Word. And then take it and let that sap flow through you. Bring it back up again and meditate on it. Well, God, what are you saying to me? You know, and it may not even be the particular word that I've brought. It might be something God speaks to you in the middle of it. And that's okay. You know, don't ever feel bad about telling me that. Some people have said, well, you know, Pastor Tom, a great sermon, appreciate your sermon, but, you know, here's something that God showed me in the middle of it, and it might be something that doesn't pertain to the sermon. You're not going to offend me. I'm excited that God spoke to you right in the middle of the message, and maybe it's something that I didn't even speak on, didn't pertain to me, my word. That's okay. I'm excited that God has spoken to you. I'm excited that God has begun to do and bring into a completion a work in my life, in your life. Now, there is a sense that we cooperate with God. He brings the fruit, we bear it, but you have to cooperate with Him. So, let's take a few minutes and begin to just share what is God doing in our lives here. What's God doing in our midst? What has God been speaking to you? What has God been working to you? We have, Ashley has a microphone, and I believe there's one other person that has one, Ryan over there.